I'm going to bring my little pulpit down here so I can get closer to you. It is nice to be back. Good to be with you on a Sunday evening. We're glad that you're here as well. If you'll open your Bibles with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's been a while. We had our Super Bowl Sunday, and we're out that Sunday, and then something else happened, and Pastor Dick got sick, and the weeks go on, and we don't get back to our main topic. We are looking at gifts of the Holy Spirit to the church. And we are going through the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've considered the gift of faith, and now tonight we're looking at the gift of miracles, the gift of working of miracles. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and begin our reading with verse 27. And now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. I want you to pause there for a moment. And take the you very personally. Ewans, all of you folk, every single one of you, every one of us, are members of the body of Christ. And God has appointed these in the church, or in the body of Christ, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that is able to build us up and give us the inheritance that you've promised in your word. Lord, we're not just here to listen to stories or to listen to information about your word, but we are here, Lord, to roll up our sleeves and grab hold of that which you have given to us and make it part of our lives, to experience it, embrace it, and to know it more than just intellectually. And so we ask for that, Lord, tonight, as we consider the gift of miracles, that you would give us understanding. And that you'd work in us powerfully to honor the name of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church. He wants us to understand that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are permanent. They are in the body of Christ, not just at the time of the apostles, but throughout all time. That's the emphasis he gives here and then throughout the books as he writes to the church. That miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit are here for all time, just as Jesus is here for all time. How many of you believe Jesus is here tonight? Raise your right hand if you really believe that. Okay. How many believe that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? Raise your left hand. All right. How many of you believe in miracles? Raise your right foot. All right. Okay. We got a few. Now let me ask you the question. How many of us have seen miracles? Now, I'm going to qualify that. Remember, Paul is talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's dividing them into categories. Gifts of healings are something else. But how many of us have seen miracles? Not just healings, but miracles. God intervening in such a way that nobody else gets the glory but God himself. Now, raise your right hand if you have seen miracles. Good. Okay. Now, I wish that we had a more informal setting where we could sit around for the first 15 minutes or 20 minutes and share those miracles that we have seen. Because we are living in an age where many people grow up in the church having never seen a miracle. If we would go down to our youth group right now and challenge them with the same thing and say, how many of you young people have actually seen a miracle? Not just a healing, but how many of you have seen God intervene in a miraculous way that only he can receive the glory? I wonder how many of you, our young people, could say, yes, in my lifetime, I have seen something that nothing else can explain except God himself. I've seen miracles. I'm afraid we're living in a church of dying power. That is, we're not as connected to Christ as we ought to be. We have bought into the philosophy of the age that the apostles and the prophets had special gifts, but we don't. Paul is writing to the church to reaffirm that. He knew that these letters would be read by the church of all ages. He is speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church of the 21st century. And he's saying, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to you. Now listen to what he says. He starts to count them off. And he says, first, apostles. And we've reviewed the apostles being those sent ones, those specially anointed ones for starting up denominations and getting movements of God's. Often they're referred to as missionaries. Second, prophets, those that proclaim the word of God. Thirdly, teachers. Are you still with me? All right, we got missionaries. We got preachers. We got teachers. We're safe so far? Yes? Okay, we've got those. Now, the fourth one, he says, is, after that, miracles. Now notice, he didn't say, after that we have miracles that take place occasionally. He's talking about gifts. He said, in the church we have gifted apostles, prophets, and teachers, and after that we have gifts of miracles. Those people that are gifted of the Holy Spirit to work miracles. If we study that, and in your notes you can, I won't take the time to walk you through all of it, but you can see that as Paul refers to these things, he's always talking about miracles taking place at the hand of some man of God or woman of God, somebody that is used of God. God does miracles through the instrument of people. And Paul says, this is the fourth on the list. You got apostles and prophets and teachers. Now he says, we've got miracles. Workers of miracles, as he calls it. Now I ask you the question. We've got apostles, we've got prophets, we've got teachers. Do we have any workers of miracles in our church? I could ask for a show of hands, how many of you have the gift of working miracles? But I'm not sure that we have any. Or do we? He goes beyond this to step into the other miraculous gifts, the gifts of healings and varieties of gifts. He does some administrative things, and then tongues. And then he asks the question, what do all teach, or all apostles, do all have gifts of healing or miracles? And the answer is no, not everybody has these gifts, but God has salted throughout the church special people that he has gifted with the gift of working miracles. How do you know that you don't have the gift of working miracles? How do you know you don't have the gift of preaching unless you've preached? How do you know that you don't have the gift of teaching unless you've taught? How do you know you don't have the gift of apostle or establishing a missionary work if you've never stepped out to do so? See, none of the gifts of the Spirit we know about until we actually exercise it. The Lord gives gifts to His church, and the day that you received Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit came in. Sometime subsequent to that, sometime after that, you probably had the experience of surrendering all to the Lord, as we sang tonight, and the Spirit of God took full control of you, and He gave you specific gifts. The only way to discover those gifts is by beginning to work for the Lord. And I believe God has gifted the church with people who are able to work miracles because of the gift of God in their hearts and lives. Yet we don't provide the opportunity. Or we as the church ourselves, if we happen to have the gift of miracles, we don't operate that gift because we're kind of scared of that. Remember what Jesus said about faith? That was one of those gifts as well, the gift of faith. That if you say to a mountain, be removed, and you believe and doubt not, it will be done for you. Well, I don't know too many of us that take that gift of faith that seriously, so that we speak to the mountain. We speak to the situations and remove them out of the way. Same thing with working of miracles. How many of us have actually stepped on the water to walk on it? How do you know you can't walk on water? Have you been in that situation where you've had to trust God for a miracle? And God has given you the faith? Peter didn't know he could walk on water until one day he stepped out of the boat. And we like to condemn him because he got his eyes off Jesus and sunk in. But I want you to note, there were 12 guys in the boat. Only one dared to put his feet over the side and step in the water. Gift of working of miracles was given to the Apostle Peter. I want to review a few things. I'm not going to stick specifically with the notes this evening. I've been giving you most of them so you can study on your own. But I want to point out a few things and then deal with the third point specifically. Let's talk about what miracles are not, because Paul seems to be very exclusive about this category of miracles. What miracles are not. There are certain things that we cannot call miracles. In other words, Healings are not in this classification of miracles. Healings are miracles, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying there are special things we call miracles that are signs and wonders. They are not just physical healing of bodies. So when we're talking about healing, that's another gift. That's another area of miraculous. It's also not just answers to prayer. All of us, I hope, have experienced answers to prayer. Now, answers to prayer is miraculous, but it's not the gift of miracles. It's not the gift of working of miracles. It is miraculous in itself. There are some songs that have been sung that said the greatest miracle of all is the miracle of somebody coming to Christ. Well, that's true. That's a miracle. But that's not a miracle that somebody works or does the miracle because they're gifted by God. And so that's not what we're talking about. By miracles, we are talking about phenomenon where God himself steps into our realm and does something that only he can do, no one else can do. And he does it through the hand of man. Let me illustrate a few. You have the gift of casting out of demons. Nowhere does Paul say anybody's gifted with the gift of casting out of demons, but it's done over and over in the church, in the early church. That is part of this gift of working of miracles, the casting out of demons. I'm going to ask you a question. I really do want an answer. How many of you have ever cast out a demon? How many of you have ever seen a demon cast out? How many of you want to see a demon cast out? How many of you care if there's a demon cast out? You see, here we are. We've got a group of probably 40, 50 people. And we ask the question, and most of us are spiritually mature. We've walked with the Lord more than a year or so. But here we have a situation in which we have not seen the miraculous taking place in our congregation or in our spiritual lives. Why? That is the question we need to ask about all the gifts that are inoperative in our midst. Because Paul said they're there. They're not being used. Perhaps because they're misunderstood, or we're afraid of it, or we back away from it. Or maybe it's because we don't have the faith to believe God for those things. Remember the disciples. The disciples were walking with Jesus and they were learning from him firsthand. They were given a gift to cast out demons. Jesus gave that to every one of his disciples, including Judas, and they went out and came back raving. And they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. That's the classification of a miracle. The demons are subject to us in your name. It's by your name, but through us, that God does these miracles. But then there was a situation of a little boy, a father that brought a little boy to Jesus, who was having fits. We would say he was epileptic. He was going into fits and losing his mind. He'd throw himself in the fire. And the father brought this little boy to the disciples and believed that the disciples could cast it out because he saw them cast other demons out. Do you remember what happened? The disciples couldn't cast the demon out. Now, I wish we could have been little mice to sit on the side and watch that whole event unfold as the disciples tried conjuring all the different ways that they learned to cast out demons, and they couldn't do it. And finally, Jesus came along, and they said, Lord, we tried everything. We did all the tricks in the book. Everything you've taught us to do, we did, and it didn't work. And Jesus groaned in his spirit. And he says, how long will I put up with you? Oh, you of little faith. And Jesus rebuked the evil spirit. And as he spoke to the spirit, bound him in the name of the Lord, and cast him out. Like that. And the disciples said, wow, how did you do that? And Jesus said, guys, I want you to know some species, and use the word species, some species of demons cannot leave except by prayer and fasting. In other words, he was saying, guys, even though I've gifted you with the gift of this miracle, you haven't exercised yourself spiritually to experience the victory of seeing those miracles. And I'm afraid that's true in our lives. How many of us fast and pray on a regular basis seeking God's miraculous hand? How many of us even pray on a regular basis daily, not just in a short period of prayer, but prolonged times of prayer, seeking the Lord, seeking His anointing, seeking His power, seeking His touch on your life? Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. And sometimes this area of working of miracles, we don't see because we don't do it. Because we don't believe God's going to. Another one is the resurrection from the dead. Do you ever have somebody die and you wanted to raise them to life? I've had many occasions like that, and it's frustrating. I don't have the gift of working miracles. But it sure would be nice. There are times when I've stood by a bedside of somebody that just died or recently died, and I just want to say to them, get up, and the Lord give you strength. Wouldn't that be phenomenal? Here in the church, somebody's in an accident. They're pronounced dead at the hospital, and you call the pastor or whoever has the gift of working miracles. Pastor comes in and seems led of the Lord, confident in the Lord, and he just lays his hands on that person and says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And that person, with all the wounds and everything else, is suddenly healed and gets up and walks and talks. Wow. What do you think would happen in this community if that happened? Well, let me see. They probably wouldn't let the pastor in the hospital anymore. I dare say that people would stand up and take note, not just of the pastor or the worker of miracle, but take note that something new is happening here. This Jesus they talk about, I want to know more about Him because I see His mighty power. And that's one of the reasons God has given this gift to the church, so that throughout the ages, Jesus will be doing miracles through His individual believers, so that others will believe and put their trust in Jesus. You see, miracles are not just for our benefit or our blessing. They are works of God to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ. So miracles are God stepping in and doing something that only He can do, but through the means of one of His servants. I didn't give you all of my notes, but I think I gave you the note that you need. It's, I think, at the last page. What are some biblical miracles? Do you have that one? The biblical miracles. Now, this is not an exhaustive list because I've tried to weed out all of the different healing ones in the Old Testament and just leave those with miracles. Miracles. We see Old Testament, we have lots of miracles. We have lots more in the New Testament, but the predominance of miracles in Jesus' ministry were gifts of or miracles of healings. But we look at some of these and we say, wow, God wants to do these things? Did God only want to do these things in the Old Testament with a few prophets? We think of Elijah, what God did with Elijah as he went up to Mount Carmel and had the battle with the prophets of Baal, and being able to pray and work the miracle. He prayed and he called on the Lord and said, Lord, do this right now. That's not like getting on your hands and knees and saying, now I lay me down to sleep. Lord, I pray that something will happen to prove to these people that you're real. See, he was very specific because he had the gift of miracles. He said, Lord, consume the altar. Consume the fire. Send the fire and consume the altar and the water and everything else and glorify your name. And God did it. Elijah and Elisha were two that stood out with gifts of miracles because they believed God and God did great things through them. Why do you think God did that? He was receiving glory to Himself. We look in the New Testament, we see loads of miracles. Of course, that's easy because Jesus was walking in four books, the first four books of the New Testament, and you see His miracles. But it continued after that, on into the church. As the apostles received the Holy Spirit, there were gifts given to them. Remember the death of Ananias and Sapphira? There's a gift of working of miracles. Here's the situation. You come to church on a Sunday morning, and there's a special missionary offering, and somebody comes in and walks down strutting and lays it on the altar and says, I sold my property and I gave it to the Lord. All that I have received from my property, I gave it to Jesus. And everybody's probably clapping. I mean, they're saying, this is great, man. Praise the Lord. And Peter looks at him and says, wait a minute now. You mean to tell me you sold your property and you're giving all of it to the Lord? And they said, yes, sir. It's exactly what we're doing. Now, what did Peter do? Shrug his shoulder and say, hey, we take money no matter how we get it. No. He operated the gift of miracles. And he said, how dare you lie to the Holy Spirit? You kept back a part for yourself. And God immediately struck him dead. A little while later, his wife waltzes in. Says the same thing. Oh, yeah. We sold our property. Yeah. We brought it all to the Lord. Yeah. Peter said, you liar. You're lying to the Spirit of God, and the same people that carried out your husband are going to carry you out right now. Boom, she dies. I don't know about you, but I don't know that I want a pastor like that. That's the gift of miracles. Why was Peter allowed to operate a gift like that? Do we have the gift of miracles where somebody in the church can go around cursing people, zapping people with death or disease? No. The purpose is found afterwards. As soon as that happened, it says, great fear came on all the people. The word there is reverence. Great reverence and awe of the Lord. And that Jesus Christ was real. You don't lie to the Holy Spirit. And God did wonderful things and the church multiplied because people believed that God was real. That is the purpose of the gift of miracles. That people in our day and age, as in the early church, will see and know that our God still lives. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus did not change. He didn't go into retirement. He's not in a heavenly Disney world waiting for the day that he's going to come back. He is just as active today. And God wants to show himself strong on behalf of his people so that the result will be many added to faith and many coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. God has miracles that he wants to do. And I think when we get to heaven, God's going to have a video projector or something like that. And he's going to show us all the things that he had prepared for us that we didn't take. All the miracles that he had for the Grove City Alliance Church that we didn't operate, we didn't work, we didn't trust him for, we never believed him for. And he said, therefore, you didn't get them. But these were stored up for you in heaven. See, the gift of miracles is given to the church. And I don't know who has that gift of miracles, and neither do you. But God wants every one of us to begin operating our lives on a principle that Jesus Christ is alive and that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That miracles are for today, and God wants to operate those things around us. Looking at the third point of the message tonight, the second one is understanding miracles, but I've covered that somewhat. And that is that we need to understand that miracles draw men to Christ. Miracles increase people's faith, that they fear God and reverence him. Miracles confirm the word that is preached. Let me give you an illustration here for a moment. What if you were to be sent as a missionary into some strange and far-off land where nobody has heard the gospel of Christ? And you dedicated your life and the Lord sent you out there and you begin to preach. And you teach and you tell the miracles that God has done. And the people said, okay, yeah, well, you're telling us stories, but hey, where's the proof? Where's the beef? This Jesus you talk about, we need to see him. Otherwise, you're just like all the other people that come through here teaching us something and telling us fables. We need to see it. Could you believe God for a miracle like that? That God would confirm your word with signs and wonders. That's part of the reason the gift of miracles is given. All right, looking at number three, I'm just going to list nine truths about miracles that I think apply to all of us, no matter if we have that gift or not. Number one, miracles are promised. Jesus promised to the church that miracles would continue. He said, the works that I do, these works you shall do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my heavenly Father. Ask you a question again. Have you done or have you seen any greater work than Jesus has done in your lifetime? Jesus said it would happen. That these who put their faith in me, these who trust in me, in John 14:12, he said, verily I say unto you, he that believes in me, the works that I will do, he will do also, and greater works will he do, because I go to the Father. The second thing is, miracles can and should be prayed for. We should pray for miracles. I'm really concerned about that. Every week I pray for that. I'm asking God to do miracles in our church. I've asked him that even before I accepted the call to candidate, that if God would bring me here, that I want to see God do some things that nobody else can take credit for. I want to see God walk into a Sunday morning service and transform some lives. We've got some marriages that need to be healed. They're in desperate straits. And wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord would step in and the husband and wife would suddenly fall before the Lord weeping and be restored and marriages mended? Wow, that's phenomenal. That's a miracle. That's a God intervention. So we need to see. The apostles believed in praying for miracles. In Acts chapter 4, they were beaten up and threatened and by the government officials and by the Jewish people that didn't want them preaching about Jesus. And then they were threatened again and let go. And the apostles went back to the others and reviewed with them what took place, that they were beaten for the cross of Christ, and they rejoiced in it. And then they got on their knees and they prayed. And this is what they prayed. Lord, by stretching forth your hand to heal, give forth signs and wonders by the name of your holy child Jesus. The church gathered together and said, Lord, we are unashamed to suffer for your name's sake, but we're asking you, as we suffer and proclaim the name of Jesus, that you will confirm this word with signs and wonders, that you will reach out by the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ and do things that only you can do. And you know what God did? Exactly that. Because he heard their cry. Miracles can and should be prayed for. We need as a church to be gathered together every Sunday, every Wednesday night, or every time we're together for prayer, asking God for specific miracles that he will do to receive glory, that no one can deny that he exists. And no person that walks through the doors of this church will ever be able to leave and say, I couldn't see the proof that Jesus is real. I want him to know that Jesus is alive. The third thing is miracles happen to men of believing prayer. If we want to see miracles, we need to pray for them. We need to be men and women of prayer. Now, I'm going to ask you to show your hand and your heart, but not to me. How many of you here today, in the honesty and integrity of your heart before the Lord, and to him only, can say, Lord, I am a man or a woman of prayer. I prevail before the throne. I am a godly intercessor. I spend deep amounts of time in the presence of God. I touch the throne of God when I pray. I hope there's some that can say that, but I would think that in most churches, people can't say that. Because we're not a praying people, we're not a believing people, we're not hungry enough to see God work. God is calling his people to be people on their knees. In every case where there were miracles in the Old and New Testament, it was because somebody got on their knees and sought the Lord above everything else. And it was only after long periods of time and fasting and prayer and seeking God and knowing God intimately that God used them to do the mighty works, to do the miracles. We want to see miracles in our church, then we need to become men and women of prayer, of intercession, of being recognized at the throne of God. There was a situation in, I believe it was Acts chapter 19, where the sons of Sceva were trying to cast out demons. They were trying to do the work of miracles. But they weren't believers. They happened to be Jewish people, and they had heard of different formulas by which you can cast out demons, and they were doing this. They were doing it as a magical formula. And then they heard about Jesus and people being delivered from demons in Jesus' name. So they took the name of Jesus and they started to conjure with the name of Jesus. And they laid hands on people or whatever they were doing and they tried to cast out demons. And in this particular instance, they tried to do that. And the scripture says the demon within responded and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who in the world are you? Are you known at the throne? Are we people of prayer so that when we encounter situations of demonic activity, Satan will have to confess, Jesus I know and you I know. Well, I don't know these other guys. But that's what it is to be a prayer warrior, one who is known at the throne. Number four, miracles will never cease. I am so glad the Lord put that in Scripture because it contradicts those of our day that want to declaw the gospel, want to make it palatable for those that don't believe in miracles and miraculous. They just want a religion. Miracles will never cease. In Hebrews 13:8, the Lord has given us promises that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means my Jesus will never change. All the gifts that he gives to the church are always the gifts that he gives to the church. The same power that he operated when he walked on earth is the same power that he operates in his church today. He's the same. We change. He doesn't. Miracles will never cease because He has promised that. In 1 Corinthians 13:8, we read the passage where many have used it as an excuse that there are no miracles today. And Paul goes on from this passage that we read this evening into chapter 13, which is the great love chapter. And he says, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And he goes on to say that these things will cease, that tongues will cease, prophecy will cease, but love will continue. There are those that would use that passage to say, well, see, miracles are to cease. And that is not what he said. Matter of fact, he didn't even use the term miracles when he said tongues will cease and prophecies will cease. But he's referring to the earth itself and our time frame of preaching the gospel of Christ. All this is going to come to an end, and what lasts forever is love. Miracles will never cease as long as the Lord Jesus Christ is still on the throne. Number five, miracles can be counterfeited. And I think we've overdone that one, so much so that we have the church in fear that somebody's going to do something wrong if God should do a miracle. There are counterfeits. In Matthew 24:24, Jesus prophesied concerning the end times, and he said there are going to be such miracles that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Satan will be doing lying wonders. Yes, in the last times, there will be wonders and signs and all kinds of things done by Satan's power. And we should not be deceived by these things. There will be great charlatans in the world that are huckstering the gospel of Christ and manipulating people and manipulating emotions, trying to produce miracles for profit and for gain. Did you ever stop using money because you heard there are counterfeit bills? No. It takes the genuine to make the counterfeit even attractive. God has genuine miracles for His church today. That's why in the end times, the counterfeit will come along and proclaim itself to be the real. The greatest protection that we have against the counterfeit is the real thing. If God would grant us real miracles in the church that are authentic and aren't based on somebody trying to make a big name for themselves or somebody trying to get more money, Jesus Christ would be glorified and people would throng to Him. And then you'd see the counterfeit people coming along trying to do the huckster thing, and everybody would say, this is not that. What we've seen here is genuine. Miracles can be counterfeited, but that's not to disavow the existence of miracles. Number six, miracles confirm the Word of God that is preached. Miracles confirm the Word of God that's preached. Number seven, I think, is very important. Miracles accompany missionaries more than monks. Did you know that? I did a study and ran through the Scriptures as I was looking at those things and said, yes, it's true. Throughout the Scripture, God granted the work of miracles to missionaries. It was the men and women that stood out on a limb, that went into places where the gospel had never been preached. They actually went out to the edge of that limb to proclaim Christ and rest in Him. And they were in a situation where they had to trust God for miracles. Lord, if You don't do something, we're going to die. And God did miracles. Throughout the Scripture, we find that. We find it with the Apostle Paul. We find it with Peter. We find it with Barnabas. We find it with Stephen and Philip. Those are five names of people in the New Testament that had the gift of miracles. Only two of them would we call pastors or preachers, Peter and Paul. The others, Barnabas, Stephen, and Philip, were deacons. They were servants in the church, and yet they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out preaching the Word. They put themselves out on a limb for Jesus' sake. Number eight, miracles cannot be bought. Always remember that one. It's not so prevalent here, but as we served in Brazil, you can buy a miracle just about on any corner. There's usually a little corner church. It's got a great big banner out front, and it's got the guy's name, and they always call these people missionaries. I mean, that's the title they give them. It means huckster. The guy out as a charlatan. If you see the word mission, which made it really difficult for the Christian and Missionary Alliance, because everybody saw missionary and thought, oh, the Christian and Huckster Alliance. But these people have banners out there. Come and get a miracle. And they actually sell miracles. They auction miracles for the evening. And the man that's preaching will say, oh, I feel God has a miracle for somebody with a heart ailment tonight. Somebody with a heart ailment tonight. And he says, God says, if you give up $20, he's going to heal you tonight. Hello. Do you get the idea that something phony is going on there? We ought to, because God says it can't be bought. There was Simon Magus in Acts that tried to do this, Acts chapter 8. He saw that miracles were done by Peter and the apostles, and the Holy Spirit was given. He said, man, this is cool. I want to buy this so I can make some money. And he offered money to the apostles that he could have this gift and do the same thing. And Peter said, you're still in the gall of bitterness. Your heart is not right with God. You have no part with this. You don't even understand it. See, miracles can't be bought. If anybody ever tries to sell you a miracle or tell you that if you give so much to the Lord, God's going to give you a miracle, know that it's a lie. Because the gifts of God cannot be purchased. They are His gracious gifts so that He receives glory. The last one is, miracles are gifts of God to the church for all ages. We have been given a gift. I don't know how long you have to live. I have no idea how long I have to live, but I expect that it's going to be a few years. Maybe 10, 15, 20. If by reason of strength, maybe 30 more years, getting up close to some of you folks. But let's say I have 30 years left. By the way, that would make me what? 83. Imagine that. I might even have 40 years left to be old enough to be Reed Rogers. That's a long time. But in the next 40 years, what am I going to see God do that nobody else can take credit for? What am I going to see God do in my life and through my life and ministry that I can't take any credit for, that only He gets the glory? You see, that's the stuff that remains for eternity. That's the stuff that nobody else can take credit for. That's the stuff that requires that we're men and women of our knees and before the throne of God and seeking God to do His work in His church. Why isn't our church exploding with conversions, or any church for that matter? Part of the reason is people are not seeing the reality of Jesus Christ. And they long to see it. And from time to time, God sends revival and people receive the gift of miracles. God does wonderful things. And you know what happens? People come from miles around to see the church that's on fire. Church that really has the Spirit of God and the gifts of the Lord, people will come from all over because they're hungry to see the living God. They want to know that this gospel is true. May God grant us the grace to seek Him with all our hearts, not just for the gift of working miracles for ourselves, but the gift in the church so that Jesus Christ will be exalted and men will be drawn to Him. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Lord, I long for You, and maybe I don't long for You enough. As David said, as the deer longs after the water brook, so my soul pants for You. Lord, I pray that You would give me that panting for You, that You would come and You would shine forth in Your glory, that You would do things that no one else can take credit for. You would do mighty miracles, as the apostles prayed, Lord. So put it in our hearts as a church to pray, oh Lord, by the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ and through His name, do signs and wonders and miracles to glorify the Lord Jesus, that others would be drawn to You and find You as Savior and Lord. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.